Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to delve in the Word of God and see what it is that what the Spirit has to say to the church on tonight. This week, we're going to continue with being strengthened in the inward man, the importance of growth, the importance of being transformed or being saved. And it goes back to the comment Sister Cherry made about having the faith in the right object. We oftentimes preach the message of the cross to get people saved. But once people get saved, the question is, where do I go now? What do we do? What happens next? And the problem is that because it's not explained that we have to be changed, we have to continue to be changed. It's not just a one-time thing, my name's written, okay, now just go to church and work in church. There's a process. There's some things that we have to come to know. We have to come to realize what happened at Calvary, how we apply that to our daily living. Otherwise, we as Christians will try to live this life in the power of our own energy and our own might. Although sincere, although we love God, although we live for God, the problem is that we have no other power source other than our own.
Right.
So many people fail to see or realize that the power source has to come from a source that's greater than us, greater than you and I. This power source has to go beyond the human mind, the human strength, and the human ability. And so we're looking at the importance of being strengthened in the inward man. See, if we look at the Pharisees and religious leaders, they held positions externally. They had respect from the people, and they sat in Moses' seat, as Christ said. They sat in those positions because they were supposed to teach the law according to the word of God. But Christ said, listen to what they say, but don't do what they do, simply because they weren't living. They didn't a life that exhibited the power of God, the ability to overcome sin, the ability to overcome self, the world, and Satan. So they could not take God's word and apply it to their daily living. They could not apply God's word to their circumstances. So when Christ stepped on the scene, Christ's presence revealed what was in their heart. They hated him. And when we read in the scriptures, we find out that the Pharisees knew who he was. They knew he was the Messiah. But because of envy, the scripture says that they set out to kill him. They didn't want. They tried to make it, oh, he's just a carpenter's son. Oh, he's just this. How can he's not? They knew it. And the scriptures say because of envy. So when we get into Matthew 28, you'll see that they were so obsessed with trying to stop the spread of the gospel and Christ being the risen one, the Son of the living God, the Redeemer. They tried to stop that from spreading. So they went to Pilate, and they told Pilate, can you put guards at the tomb, at the grave, and seal it and make sure nobody come take the body, so they won't, his disciples won't take the body and say, oh, yeah, he's risen in 3 days. So what happened, this is the amazing part about God, the enemy always tries to suppress the truth. This is why you and I can't be consumed with the world system. The enemy will always peddle lies, peddle half-truths. So what did they do? He sent the guards there. He said, okay, send them there, and they had to watch throughout the hours during the night. What happened was an angel shows up, and we're going to get in our scriptures in a minute. Angel shows up, and they see it, and the angel breaks that seal of that tomb or what have you, right? So an earthquake occurs, and they get scared. They go back, and they tell the Pharisees what happened, that he wasn't there. And the Pharisees knew he was the Messiah. Instead of being overcome with joy and repenting, they said, don't tell anybody. We will pay you money to lie and say that somebody came and stole the body. And don't tell anybody. Don't even tell Herod. And they said, we'll make sure, because if the guards were to allow somebody to escape, they had to be killed. So So they said, we will talk to Pilate and make sure that they don't put you to death. They paid them to go out and spread the lie that
Amen.
Christ had, somebody stole the body, because they were trying to denigrate his death and his
mm-hmm.
resurrection. You see this? And that
Amen.
He was the Son of God. They knew who he was. What am I saying? You and I, the only way that we can walk by faith and not by sight, because Satan has an effort. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Satan is a liar. And he has lies and half truths. Didn't the first family fall? So in this world system, if we're not strengthened in the inward man, we will fall for the error. We will fall for the lies. We will fall for the half truths, thinking that we're walking in line with God's word. Y'all see what I'm saying? So this is why the sin nature has to be nailed. The flesh has to be nailed. If I'm not identified with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, Satan, the Bible says that the elect was almost deceived. So
Amen.
Satan operates in through deception, in and through deception. So this is why we're on this scripture, because it's important that we come to allow God to nail our passions. Like I said, although we're sincere, we can be sincerely wrong. Although we can cry and holler and what have you, it takes, God looks past all that. He's looking for faith in the right object. That's the only thing that will allow the Holy Spirit to penetrate my lustful desires, my wrong whatever views. That's the only way God can penetrate the heart. So this is why this process of being strengthened, we'll start at Ephesians chapter 3. And I think I said 14 or 15, I can't remember.
15.
We'll start back there, Ephesians 3. And we're talking about being strengthened in the inward man. Let's keep going.
Ms. Stevens, so this is why we can always go into church and we shout and we cry and we do all this stuff, but we come back out because the same way, because the inner man is not strengthened. It's because we go in there and we think we can cry and shout and God's
right.
going to look past what we've done instead of asking him to forgive us.
Right.
Yeah.
That emotions, right. It's a form mm-hmm. of godliness. And God, remember we said before, God looks past the what
mm-hmm.
we say, and he looks directly at the heart. Good point.
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Of
okay.
whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height.
Okay. Now let's stop right there for a second, because when you look at verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith,
mm-hmm.
that you being rooted. This is where we're talking about with that strengthening in the inward man, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, I'm going to read this because it's in the critical commentary. It says here, faith, the Greek word faith, when it says through faith, it says which opens the door of the heart to Jesus Christ. It is not enough that he be on the tongue or flit through the brain. The heart is his proper seat. You being rooted and grounded in love is the Greek connected with this clause, not with the clause. It says that you may be able to comprehend. So you got to be rooted and grounded in love in order to be able to comprehend with all saints.
Amen.
See that? What is the breadth and length and depth and height? So notice what he's trying to root and ground us in. The scripture said in 2 Peter chapter 3, 18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the sanctification process. This is the second stage of our salvation experience. You and I have to be justified in order to be sanctified. I can't be sanctified unless I've first been justified. That means that the wrath of God was settled. Why was it settled? Because Christ paid the penalty. He paid the price for my sin, my separation. He brought us back to the Father, those who will approach God by faith in what his Son has done. So once I exhibit faith, this faith causes Christ to dwell, to make his abode, to make his home. It says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty.
Liberty. Mm-hmm.
So if the Spirit of God is there, Christ is there. And his purpose and point is to liberate. Now, can the Spirit of Christ be in me and I still not be liberated?
No.
He can't be in me and I still don't experience being set free? Can he be in me and I'm not experiencing it? Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. Yet, he can be in me. I can be Spirit-filled, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm Spirit-led.
Okay.
So if I'm spirit-led, I have to walk by faith, trust him. See, this is what our experience is now. Once I get saved, my experience now is trusting him by walking by faith in my daily circumstances. If I don't walk by faith, we will experience what Jacob experienced, the wrestling with God.
Okay.
The wrestling with God is just you and I refusing to change. And we cannot follow God unless we deny self, pick up the cross, and follow. So if there is no denial, there will be a wrestling with a refusal to change. So I can be filled with the Spirit. But remember, the flesh and the Spirit are going to war because the Spirit is trying to put the desires of God in us. Remember, it is him, for it's God, who puts a will and a desire in us to do of his good pleasure. The problem with us is that the mindset has to change. We have to realize we're being made a new creation. Old things have got to pass away. And if I refuse to embrace God's way, then there will be a struggle. And the struggle is with the flesh and the spirit. The struggle is a fight to remain the same. We don't want to change. So I can be saved, but yet not experience transformation. So this is why he says, present. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a co-laborer with us. He doesn't just come in and just do it. He waits for a willing vessel, willing individual. So if he doesn't have a willingness of me working, co-laboring with him, he's not going to just, boom, do it. The reason why I won't co-labor is because there's unbelief, and unbelief is the same as disobedience. Those two words are the same. So I won't obey God because there's unbelief. I don't trust God in a certain area or aspect. I want things my way. I want to hold on to this way. So when that's there, the Holy Spirit and the flesh are lusting against one another because his desires are totally contrary to what the flesh desires. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it says, rooted is an image from a tree being, like a tree being grounded, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Having your foundation resting on. When you look at grounding, it's grounded, it's like a building being grounded, having a foundation. If your foundation is sand and a storm, rainstorm come, it washes away. But if it's concrete, a rainstorm can come. That building may go away, may fall, but that foundation.
Yes.
See, Christ never fails. Christ will not change.
Amen.
And if I'm built on the rock, see, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. If I build it on anything else, all other ground is sinking sand. See that?
Amen. Yes.
Anything other than faith in him and Christ and him crucified, you will sink. Just like Peter walked on the water of God's word, but when he shifted his focus and faith away from Christ, sinking sand. See that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So you and I will begin to sink in situations and circumstances and whatever we facing because we refuse to let the Spirit of God take over.
Yes.
And so let's go back. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith that you being rooted and grounded in love. Let's go back to let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 Let me see here. I think that's the right one. I think it's verse. We'll start at verse 4.
Lord, I got it here.
Okay. Not a problem.
Colossians 2 and 4?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
All right. So remember we read before and it said that we can fall from our steadfastness with our faith in Christ and Him crucified. We are responsible to keep our faith in Christ. And Christ did the work. He did the hard part. He died on the cross. He conquered hell, death, and the grave. He conquered over sin. So my part is I must align myself with God in body, soul, and spirit. Everything about me has to become regened. That's why it's called regeneration. I have to be born again. And the way I'm born again, God has to regene me, get me to think the way Christ thinks on everything and every aspect of life and living. So when I'm regened, the love of Christ is unconditional. And remember, when I'm under the ordered system of grace, grace requires much more than law, rules, and regulations. So law, rules, and regulations try to put standards and create a list of things that man's supposed to do and check them off. But grace doesn't do that. Grace will go far and beyond the list of things. You will love your enemies. You will do good to those who despitefully use you. Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So he says here, he says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul's job was to make sure, as a leader, the leader of the church, that the church was going in the right direction. They were steadfast in the faith. If they weren't, he made sure they knew the error of their way. They had to be corrected, just like the man that was in the church, and he was a leader, but he was sleeping with his father's wife, I think it was, and nobody in the church addressed it. See, that's one of the hard things. We have to address error and wrongdoing, and so Paul had to confront it, and then he said, don't put him out. If he don't want to change, put him out.
Amen.
Don't even pray for him until there is true repentance. So the job of Paul, the Apostle Paul, was to make sure that the church stayed on the path of faith in Christ and Him crucified. If they veered off and he not say anything, guess what? God will hold him accountable for allowing him to go headlong into error.
Amen.
So the job of the watchman is to warn the church, sound the alarm, watch for error, watch for false doctrine, watch for things that come in to destroy. See?
Yes.
That's the job of the church. When Hitler came on the scene, the church, you had a few. Nobody else would really say anything, but you had a few people that stood up and tried to sound the alarm. It was a little late, but when we become comfortable, see,
mm-hmm.
when we become laxed in just religious activities or what have you, see, we're supposed to be watching for everything that's happening, all the false stuff that's coming in, all the stuff that's coming to tear down your nation. You and I have to sound the alarm, because the church, if the church is silenced, if our rights and freedoms are taken away, how will we have a voice to preach the gospel?
Amen.
And that's what it's all about. So you and I have to see and know spiritually. God will reveal the secrets, the things, the hidden things that the enemy is doing that lurk in darkness, which the natural eye can't see. And so we have to sound the alarm, right? So he told Isaiah, how long do I preach it? He said, until their hearts become heavy and their ears are dull of hearing. In other words, they don't want to hear it. They're tired of hearing about it. He said, preach till the cities become desolate. Because if you keep saying it long enough, somebody, everybody may not receive it, and everybody may not get it, but somebody will. And you keep seeing till you keep saying it and preaching it, Isaiah, until their hearts become heavy.
Amen.
And they shut their eyes and shut their ears. See? God is weeding out those that just want church and religious activities from those that want him.
Right.
And so you
Amen.
And I have to be able to, we have to walk by faith to make sure we're not falling from the steadfastness. Now, faith in Christ and the cross is going to weed out things in our own hearts and lives.
Yes.
And we got to be willing to let God do it. If there's resistance, then God will hold us account, individuals accountable. But the person has to continue, the watchman has to continue to put the warning out, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So he says in verse 6, let's keep going.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Now notice, after you receive Christ as your Savior, what's the next thing he tells us to do? Verse 6.
Okay. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Walk ye in him.
Walk ye in him. So now he's saying that's your behavior. Your behavior is to be ordered in the sphere of Christ and him crucified. So in other words, how Christ, the same way Christ walked this earth with reliance upon the Spirit of God. Remember, he was fully God and fully man. So his temptation was much greater than ours because he was creator. He is creator of all, but yet allowed man to crucify him, to revile him, to ridicule him, to mock him, to beat him, to pluck the beard off his face, to put the crown of thorns. But he remembered his purpose. You see that?
Amen.
So we are to order our lives. We won't have to go to the wooden beam, but guess what? When the world reviles us, when they ridicule because you're standing for what's right and every majority is going in another direction. See, another key or clue to let you know what path, if you're walking on the path of righteousness or not, is if you're going with the majority, and the majority is the world system, he says what? The world will love you if you do what they want. But when you do what Christ, narrow is the way. The way of Christ is narrow. It's not going to be popular with the world, with the way of the world system. So when we do naturally or supernaturally what Christ, we walk according to his, in the sphere of Christ and the cross, we will deny ourselves. Pick up the benefits of the cross and follow. And that's easier said than done because fish naturally, they go up against the stream. They go upward when everything else is coming down at them, okay? That's why we have the symbol of the fish as that Christian symbol because they go upstream. The world comes down. So you got to go against the grain.
Yeah.
And not too many people can do this unless they learn to order their behavior, order their lifestyle, order their way of living in the sphere of Christ and him crucified. So how he says how we are to do that, verse 7, rooted and built up where?
In him.
See that? We got to be rooted and built up in him, not in church, not in religious activities, not in programs, not in these different organizations. Some of us, we know more about the organizations than we know about him. And him
Amen.
Being, we have to be identified with him and his way, what he did at Calvary. So this is how our way of living has to now be ordered the way that Christ, it said that he that made no reputation of himself. He despised the shame. He looked past all the stuff that the world tried to throw on him. The world was like, hey, if you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. See, if that was us, we'd be ready to roll our sleeves up and go fight and prove that we are children of God. But you and I have to learn to resist the temptation to come off the cross. And so the way that resistance come in is, he says, he that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's the only way to overcome. You cannot overcome the world in your strength and ability.
Amen.
You and I can't overcome the world system. When I say the world, I'm talking about the world system. Everything about the world system that we live in is a lie. Everything about it. But Christ is willing to bring us into the reality of what's really going on in the world, and you'll see the darkness and the hidden evil agendas at work as you and I identify with his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
Not only am I dead to sin, self, the world, and Satan, but I got to be resurrected and leave all my hang-ups and hookups and ill wills in that grave, in that burial grave with him. And I got to rise up to new, same way he was risen, I must rise with him, but not with sin, not with selfishness, but with newness of life.
Amen.
So he says here, rooted. Now, the first thing, the word rooted in the Greek means, it says, to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix or establish, is to cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. Yeah, I notice how some of these trees, I have a lot of trees around the house, and the roots are just, they way away from, they go so far out in the yard, and I'm like, wow. And some roots in some people's yards, they go down and mess up the septic tank, you know, all that stuff, because they go down deep and they go far and wide. Well,
yeah.
The purpose of the root is to keep the tree anchored. So the trees don't just fall when a wind blow, because it's established, it's thoroughly grounded. See, that's the purpose of the roots. The roots is to make sure you're fixed in that spot. And you're rendered firm.
Yes.
So the first thing that he wants us to do is be rooted in Christ, rendered firm. So what happens when this world system try to sway us? See, it's very persuasive and it's very clever. And you and I will be caught up in it and don't even realize it. We'll be quoting scriptures and don't realize it. We don't sway with the world. But when we're rooted and built up in him, you're not going to be moved by the world. So even when there's a drought, he said in Jeremiah 17, if you put your trust in him, he said, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that even when a drought comes, your leaves will remain what? Green.
Green, amen.
See that? You won't shrivel. Shrivel when the coronavirus and all these things hit. See, in the world, we're going to experience these things. But because of being rooted by faith in Calvary, learning to stand in the power of his might, not our might, learning to deal with difficult situations and not respond according to your flesh, according to your outlook, according to the way how you feel, emotions, see, God has to take that out.
Yes.
And so he makes us built up, rooted and built up. The word built up in the Greek means, let me get it here. It says, let me see, it's to augment, to increase. It makes us to finish the structure of which the foundation has already been laid. It says in plain language to give constant increase in Christian knowledge and in a life conform thereunto. So to give constant increase. So what am I saying? I can't just do what's right one day and get blessed and empowered by the Spirit of God that one day. The grace and the power that I had yesterday is not enough for me to get through tomorrow.
Man.
Y'all see what I'm saying? It's not enough to get through the next day. You and I need a constant strengthening, a constant, we need God's power increasing in us constantly. This is the only way that David was able to face Goliath. He couldn't face Goliath until he killed the lion and the bear.
Amen.
So it will be incremental. If you notice, we said with Abraham, his first test was to leave Ur, leave his family, leave Ur. And we said Abraham didn't leave right away. It took a circumstance. I think it was the death of his father and his brother. That's how he ended up with Lot. And so that pushed him out as he obeyed. Then another test came. You see what I'm saying? So this child, this promised child, he couldn't offer his only son unless he surrendered from leaving Ur.
Yes.
Dealing with Lot. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Until all hopes of the flesh has died, then the promises of God cannot come forth. God waits with patience for us to yield and surrender to his way.
Amen.
And it takes time because many, it depends on how yielded we are. And the reason why a lot of us don't, some grow a little faster than others is because of how much we're holding on to some things, how much we want our way in things. So how much you surrender, how yielded you are will determine your growth, your increase in knowledge, and to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. All of that is based upon you and I surrendering. If I'm a little afraid of stepping out and trusting God, then God will wait until. But see, I'm the one that miss out on the benefits or however God wants to use me, because I, for whatever reservations I'm held back, then it's I'm the one that hinders it. Y'all understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm not allowing this process to work because I've allowed my ways, my views, my thinking to hinder the work of the Spirit, and we're going to go to Galatians in a minute. Notice what it says here. It says, rooted and built up in him and established. Now, all of these things sound like anchoring. When I see these words, rooted, built up, established, sound like something to anchor us. See that?
Mm-hmm.
That song says, my soul is anchored in the Lord.
Right.
So this word, build up, means to make firm, to establish. To make sure you know what you're standing and supporting. Make sure you know what you believe in.
Yeah.
See, God has to stabilize us, confirm, because there's going to be stuff to hit us in this world. Like I said, it is the good that gets most of us as Christians. The good things that were done based upon the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Anything good outside of trusting in Christ and him crucified is evil. Any effort I make to do a good thing outside of faith in Christ and him crucified is evil in God's sight. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not, because Eve wanted to be wise. That was a good thing. She wanted to be like God. But how does she set out to do it? Outside of faith and trust in God and his way. So even though it was a good thing to want to be wise and like God, see, there is a corrupted wisdom. There is a corrupted service we do and kindness we show, but it's not based upon faith in Christ and him crucified. So even though it appears good to us as human beings, if it's not based upon faith, a denial of self, a being spirit-led, we just doing it because we feel it's a good thing to do, but it's not the right spirit-led, the best thing to do, meaning that we're led by the Spirit when we put our faith in the cross. Everything good ain't God. Everything good doesn't mean that God is in it. And so you and I, this is where it comes from, the knowledge of the tree of good. This is what stumped most Christians. Things that appear to be something good, and I did a good deed, and God says, if it's outside of faith and trust in Christ and him crucified, if you were not prompted, if you did not deny yourself and allow me to lead you in what you're doing, then it's null and void. Mary wanted the water turned into wine. They ran out of wine, and she went to Christ saying, you going to do something? And Christ, he was respectful, but he's like, woman, my time is not yet, because he had to make sure it was in line with what God, was it a good thing to replenish it? Yes. But notice Christ's response. Let me check with the Father. It may not be time yet to perform this miracle. Once he got it in check, he did it. Y'all see? She said, whatever he tells you to do, whatever he tells you. So my point is, we have to be spirit-led and sensitive. Just because something appears good and right doesn't mean that that's what God desires. So when Lazarus died and were sick and they begged Christ, let's go, you know, he's sick and he's to the point of death, Christ didn't go right away. And the average person, if we're walking by sight, we'll be like, well, he didn't go, Lazarus was sick, and he didn't go to see about him, and he didn't go do this and do that and da-da-da-da-da. And Lazarus, he got a word that Lazarus had died, or he said Lazarus is asleep, and he meant he died. But he wasn't all irate. Us, we would have been up in arms. Y'all see what I'm saying? He knew the mind and the will of the Father. This is what I'm saying. You and I have, this is where God wants us. He wants us to the point where we're made firm and established and understand what the will of God is. It says to prove its truth and divinity. So there should come a point in time that God told Abraham, shall I hide what I am about to do? God, as we walk in fellowship and communion with God, we will walk in, how can two walk together lest they be agreed?
Amen.
God is in the business of making us align up with his will and his way.
Yes.
So let's go back over here. He says, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to finish reading this. It says, he wants us rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. See, all of this is an establishment, root being rooted and established and built up where? In faith in Christ and him crucified.
Yes. Amen.
See, we're trying to get built up and established in our Bible reading, in our religious activities,
mm-hmm.
in our duties as a husband or wife, in our planning and whatever we got going on in our life. We're trying to do those things and become rooted and grounded and established. But what does it do spiritually?
Amen.
He wants us rooted and grounded and established in the faith.
Yes.
Notice what he says. It depends. See, where you go and what you listen to will determine your growth in as far as ministry, the word of God, being taught. He says, as you have been taught. See, if you're not taught this, if you're just taught, come to church, work, serve, nothing wrong with work, going to church, nothing wrong with that. But if you're just taught, you're not taught the cross, what it means as far as faith and Calvary, what it means to deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. See, you'll become rooted and established in an era.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we'll become like the Pharisees. And he says, you become twofold the devil,
mm-hmm.
and you won't make it in the kingdom. You'll think that you're okay, but you're not. We're not. So as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The reason why the world has this begrudging spirit now, you know, we don't want to praise God. We want to look at all the wrong and the negative and the negative, and most of this is stemming from the world system. Because we don't want to praise, give God his praise, his glory. We don't want to praise him for what he's done. So we murmur and complain. This is what we're hearing now, the spirit of murmur and complaint that's constantly going on. Everything you turn TV on, you hear murmur and complaint. And so what happens is we don't give God the glory. There's no, because we're not rooted and grounded in the faith. Faith will cause you to look at your problem and say, you know what? You come at me, you come on, you big giant. Yeah, I see you. How dare you defy the God of Israel? See? And because we're established in faith and rooted and grounded in the faith, you will be able to look at your problems differently. You won't look with murmur and complaint, but you'll look with thanksgiving. You'll look with a heart of praise and see God, the power of God, able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we could ask or think. And we're going to go back in a minute to Ephesians 3 because notice it's according to the power working in you. Everybody does not have the power of God working in them, even as Christians.
Amen. That's right.
So as Christians, it's possible to be saved and not have this power working in you. So it's all based upon the power. So everybody's not the same. Everybody's growth level is different. And so it goes back to us. We have to walk in the measure of the grace which God has given us to walk by faith.
Amen.
Now, let's verse 8, let's keep going.
Still in Colossians.
I'm sorry, you already turned it.
No, you can't.
Yeah, in Colossians 2 and 8.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Now, notice here, he gives a warning after he says what God wants. He wants us to be rooted and grounded and established in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
The warning is, beware lest any man spoil you. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit. Remember I said deception is Satan's greatest tool. I don't care who we are. He has a plan of deception to fool any of us at whatever level we're at. The only solution to exempt us from being deceived is to constantly exhibit faith and trust in the cross and obey it on a day-to-day basis. Otherwise, you'll be pulled into the web of deception.
Amen.
You'll be pulled in the web of deception, and he knows how to make a lie look good and make a lie look right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
God knows how to reveal. He told Israel. He told them before the temple was destroyed. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could gather you as a hen gather her chicks, but you would not." See, they thought they were okay, but they didn't realize God knew it. That their temple and their city was about to be destroyed. And the people that listened, the people that heard Christ say this, that trusted in him, none of the disciples were there when Rome destroyed Israel in 70 AD. None of the true church were there. The remnant church was not there. See that? So what am I saying? It's the same thing today. The world system, what it says, beware lest any man spoil you. So this spoil is going to come through man.
Yeah, amen.
What does it mean to, see, Satan, while he uses, remember, he has ministers who present themselves. When it says ministers, it's talking about anybody that will present themselves as an angel of light. Oh, I'm here for you. I'm working on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they know how to butter us up. And they know how to say smooth words.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to say stuff that sounds so good. And we will look at the externals and think, oh, yeah, they're for us.
Amen.
And so this is where we have to, if we're rooted and grounded in faith in Christ and him crucified, you will know, you will see past it what they say, and you will see the heart.
Amen.
Okay, we will see the heart. So this word, let me see here. Let's go. Let me go to the words and get the meaning here. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through what
philosophy.
What is philosophy?
Mm-hmm.
What is philosophy? It's a love of wisdom. It's used either of zeal for or skill in an art or science, any branch of knowledge. So it's beware, because they can come with charisma. They can come being charismatic. They can come with great oratorical skills. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's in the church or outside the church. You and I have to be careful of the words, see?
Yeah.
Through philosophy and vain deceit. Vain is fruitless. Deceit is a delusion. See that? It's a delusion when a thing appears as something, but it's really not what it appears to be. You and I can't see this with the natural eye. You and I can't see this. It has to be, we have to be rooted and grounded in and identified with Christ in order to see beyond the natural.
Yes.
It also means it's deceitful, deceit. It says the lust, excited by deceit. So they know how to influence. It says by deceitful influences, seducing us to sin. So it's an allurement, it's an excitement, but it revs up the influences of the flesh or the sinful nature.
Amen.
Okay? So this is Satan comes in through deception. The cross of Christ is the only thing. Knowing and understanding, growing in knowledge in Christ and Him crucified is the only thing that shields us from this deceit. And also the tradition of men. How many people in church caught up in tradition?
Yes. Amen.
Or even outside of church?
Yes.
Amen. See, we've done it this way, and it's the way I've always done it, and I'm not changing. Tradition.
Yes. Amen.
After the rudiments of the world. See, that's either in church or outside of church.
Amen.
Everybody got some things, traditions, things, ways that we did when we were growing up or whatever, outlooks, and we don't want to change. God says, not after the traditions of men or after the rudiments of the world. It comes from the world system and not after Christ.
Amen.
Remember, Christ is creating us to be a new creation, a new creature.
Yes.
Keep going, verse 9 and 10, and we'll jump to Ephesians. I'm sorry.
For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power.
Okay.
In whom, okay.
Go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Okay. So let's go to Galatians chapter 1 as we talk about this a little bit. In Galatians chapter 1. So notice here that he says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It says this is God. This is Godhead as to essence. Christ is the completion and the fullness of deity, and in him the believer is complete.
Yes.
So this is why Satan, when he took him to that mountain and he said, all of this is mine, and if you bow down and worship me, I'll, you know, give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Satan desires worship. Remember, he wants to be like the Most High God. He wanted to exalt his throne over the Most High God. So here, on earth, he wants worship. He has some authority because Adam and Eve has given him that dominion when they fell in the garden. So what God called man to do, the duties and responsibilities, having dominion over God's creation, Adam and Eve handed it over to Satan. And Christ became the last Adam, and he redeemed us. So anybody that comes to Christ is pulled out of that system. Satan has no dominion over us as long as we walk and trust him by faith, right, on a day-to-day basis. Now, notice he says, in Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? And you are complete in him. It says the satisfaction of every spiritual want is found in Christ. And it's only made possible by the cross. This is why you can't look to things to satisfy. I mean, you can get things, and those things do not bring satisfaction, whether it's a house, car. It doesn't matter what it is. You thank God for it. But there's one thing that satisfies the human heart and soul, and that's the longing that we've always had in our hearts from the day God created us. The moral code of God is always in us. But for those outside of Christianity, those outside of faith in Calvary, the sinner, they try to fill that longing with things. Satan knows this.
Mm-hmm.
So he offers them riches, fame. And a lot of these entertainers, they get paid big money, but we don't realize how much of a slave they are to a trapped an entrapment or a world system that's
Amen.
Controlled by Satan. Satan is a taskmaster. So many folks in stuff that they had in way over their heads.
Amen.
Turn to drugs because of what they see in the industry. There's a lot of stuff y'all don't see what's going on in the industry. There's sex trafficking. There's all kind of stuff going on. We see little things on TV, but there's a whole cabal of stuff that's evil and wicked that involves the entertainment world. They do not present to us that image on TV. They present one image, an image to make us think things are a certain way. But they're in a whole world of darkness themselves. So what happened? They went to feel, see, there was a emptiness. There was a void. Money can't fill it. And Adam and Eve wanted wisdom and wanted to be like God, but guess what? They got corrupted wisdom. They had to experience sin in order to know what this wisdom was about. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
God, Christ says, you are complete in him. God says you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So even though Satan has a dark world, has an ordered system, the Bible says here that if I am complete in him, he is the head over all those principalities and powers. Why in the world would I subject myself and bow down to him when Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords? See that?
Mm-hmm.
Why subject yourself to a hard taskmaster when Christ, who gave his life for you and I,
mm-hmm.
See, he didn't ask you and I to die on a cross, but he asked that by dying that he would exchange and give us life by believing. See that?
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange, he would give me everything that I ever need if I look and trust him. All my wants, all my desires, I'm complete in him. I don't have to go to this ordered world system to get satisfaction. I don't have to go to the ordered world system for them to just fill my void.
Right, amen.
But all I have to do is be identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. Learn how to appropriate it and apply it to my daily living. That's all he asks. Is that I trust in his way so that the Spirit of God can put in me the will of God, the desires of God, and the way of God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. That makes sense, y'all? If anybody
mm-hmm.
got questions?
Amen.
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 Now, in Galatians chapter 1, I don't know if we read this one last week, but in verse, we'll start at verse 1, and I want to stop at verse 4, verse 5.
Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father,
okay.
To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Now notice Paul's calling. He says, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, right, who
mm-hmm.
raised him from the dead. And he says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you. Now, notice he keeps saying, grace be to you and peace. And before we read it, said, grace and peace be multiplied in the book of Peter, right?
Mm-hmm.
This grace and this peace is made possible only by the cross. Every, like I said, it's a daily thing, and it expands. And it comes from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He made it possible when he died. And it tells us, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins, where? At Calvary, that he might do what?
Deliver us from the present evil world.
See, this world, everything about the world, see, this is what we got to see. The world system is evil, everything about it.
Yes.
Everything about it is evil, and we have to be able to, walk by faith, not by sight. So what did Christ do? He came that he might deliver us. He said, Father, don't take them out of the world, but keep them safe from the evil one.
Yes.
See that? So God didn't want to take us out of this world system, but he wants to keep it. He don't want us to become a part of it. Remember I said we got to stand out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he wants us to be delivered from this present evil world, okay? And according to the will of the Father and our will of God and our Father. Notice here, this is what the cross will do. It's bringing deliverance, meaning that you and I will be changed day by day. Some of the things we used to do, you'll be delivered from. People won't look at you the same. You're not meant to be the same. You're meant to change. Some of your views that you had before, they should change. See, we, for some reason, we remember he said we're a peculiar people.
Yes.
That means you stand out from the world, but so many of us trying to be like the world. We want the world to pat us on. We don't want to disagree with the world. We don't want to say what's wrong with the world because we know that they'll come down on us. But when the Spirit of God is strengthening you day by day and you're being changed in the image of Jesus Christ, you don't care what the world thinks.
Amen.
Because God has a purpose. And we're to be representatives of his kingdom here in this world system. So although Satan may be the god of this world system, the power that's resting and residing in you and I is greater than he and what is in this world.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Says, shine as light. Your light and my light should be shining brighter and brighter day by day. And that means with the light shining brighter, the opposition becomes more and more. So with the glory, as God reveals himself in you and I, and his glory is revealed, then guess what? The darkness will increase as well. And as long as you and I are being strengthened day by day by the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter whether the darkness is there. What you see, you and I are to reprove it, to expose it, to dispel it. Because the Bible says the people that sat in darkness saw great light, but they continued to sit. When Christ came on the scene, he was the light. He is the light of the world. And he said, now when I'm gone, you are the light, meaning a reflection of him. So I'm to reflect his qualities, his ways, his opinions in the earth as long as I live in this earth.
Yeah.
So let's keep going. Now, look what was happening. Paul preached to these Galatians, and I think it was in chapter 3, as if they saw Christ. They could see the gospel so clear as if they saw Christ being crucified before their very eyes. That's how vivid and how plain he preached it to them. Now, notice in verse 6 what happens.
I marvel ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Notice, he says, he marveled that you are so soon removed from him, the Holy Spirit, who called you into the grace. It was made possible by the cross. So people got saved, but immediately, just like Adam and Eve, when the testing came, same thing with the person that received the seed in stony and thorny places and by the wayside, what have you, they received it, and immediately when the persecution, the tribulation, what they saw happening in the world, situations, circumstances came because of the word. Remember, the word is here to rattle us. The word is here to go against everything in me that's not like him. That's the whole purpose of the word. So when it starts rattling me and I start feeling agitated and irritated, remember, he says Satan has asked to sift you, Peter. And I didn't pray that you get out of it, but I pray that you put your faith right in the right place. Get your faith in the right object. You'll be able to overcome. When you fail, when you see and recognize your failure, Peter, he says, I pray that your faith fail not. And when you are converted in your thinking, when you come to your senses, Peter, stop looking at things from a fleshly perspective without divine influence, then strengthen the brethren. See, they were almost removed. They were going into another gospel. It says anything which doesn't have the cross as its object of faith. So Paul had to warn them. Wait a minute. It meant that they did not, in the Greek, it says that they weren't active. They hadn't already turned. They hadn't turned, but they were entertaining it, and they were on the verge. So Paul had to see what Paul's job was. He had to come in. I'm sure some of them were probably upset or whatever, but his job, he had to come in and correct the error, correct the wrong direction. Wait a minute. How y'all going to be, you got saved through the Spirit. Why are you trying to be sanctified by the flesh? Why are you trying to be sanctified by efforts, by the law, works of the law? So he says, you're going into another gospel, which is not another. Let's finish 7. I know my time is about 7 and 8.
Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But
okay. Keep going.
But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Okay. So he says there's not another. So it says presents the fact that Satan's aim is not so much to deny the gospel, which he can little do, as to corrupt it. He says, but there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I heard one very popular preacher, and I just saw it today. He's preaching, he's telling the church to embrace socialism. So he's pervert. And then they have the doctrine of critical race theory. The church is embracing that now. They stopped preaching the gospel, and they're getting people to focus on social issues. See this? This is a cultural change that's shifting. So we can't change. The gospel doesn't change with the culture. So what's happening with the culture and stuff, we can't substitute it for the gospel. This is what Paul was dealing with. How are you so soon removed? They come in here talking about you're saved, but you got to be circumcised to be truly saved and right. He's like, no. You're removing yourself from the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so when we become social justice warriors and all this and stuff, when we substitute it for the gospel, see, Christ has to heal hearts. That's the only answer for any issues that we see in life. It's no community thing. We come together and do this and get this. No, it won't work unless Christ is at the center. See? So what we preach, the gospel we preach, will change the hearts of all men. Doesn't matter the color. We don't have to bring in no critical race theory. We don't have to bring in all these different things, and we substitute it for the gospel. It used to be the gospel of greed we would bring in. Then it used to be the gospel of being positive and happy. See? We don't change with the world and the culture, what's going on. We don't get caught up in that. We have to stick with Jesus Christ and him crucified as the answer to every problem.
Yes.
On that note, my time is already up. Where did the time go? y'all hold on 1 second. I've been bum rushed by I apologize, but we want to say thank you for those that are listening, for tuning in tonight. We're going to have to close, but those on the line, hold on, and we'll take questions and comments. We thank everyone. We pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk and build you up in your faith. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.